Passage 8, Part 2. Continuing from where we left off with our four companions battling Mother of Silk on the cavern ledge. Spider's legs flitted back and forth as she hunted her prey. This ancient spider had a name, but spiders' names are very different to those of humans or fairies. Her name was a combination of the lift of her third and seventh legs, and three circular waves of her pedipalps, in order to draw attention to her large, curved fangs. In the language of spiders, this was a beautiful name, meaning the Mother of Silk. But her name mattered little now. She was the only spider in this cave. Maybe the only one of her kind left. She was ancient. And she was so very hungry. Many years ago, Mother of Silk was captured by a powerful wizard who brought her to this magical network of caves. Every so often, strangers would enter the caves, trying to reach the glowing room so as to take from its treasures. Sweet, tasty strangers. Mother had caught many of them in her silken trap, a web from the floor of the slow cavern to the ledge above. Not these, though. These intruders had destroyed her web. For months now, Mother had been waiting. It had been a long time since she had anything to eat other than the hairy, bitter blue creatures. But Mother had missed one. There it was again. That thought. The rage flooded in. The quick-flying fairy had escaped. She had taken something from the golden room and led Mother on a chase. She had come so close to catching her, but once the fairy had flown beyond her grasp, Mother had turned and run. She knew what was coming. Mere seconds later, there had come a few clicks and a hum, and the stone doors once again sealed her in the darkest part of the cave, her prison. She had been in the darkness, waiting for that door to release, for a long, long time, and she was hungry. Once more, creatures from above had taken something from the golden room, releasing the door to her dark prison. She would not let these ones get away. Up on the ledge, she danced her hunter's ballet for the newcomers. Now that she was on the hunt, the rage helped her focus. The largest one would be the most difficult to catch, with its loud roaring and wild gestures, but she would have him. She would have them all. First would be the small one with the waving arms and wooden club. Next, the bigger, wavy-haired female. The tall, roaring boy would make a delectable main meal. And the plump one with the red hat would be dessert. If only she could separate the two loud ones, she'd be able to pick them off one by one. She bared her fangs, reared up her legs one more time, and launched in for the final attack.
"I've got it!" yelled Rosa. "The air is so thick below the ledge that we might just be able to jump off and swim across the gap. Remember what the carving on the rock said. When things get grim, a dive and swim. It's another test. It has to be."
Ash darted a quick look over the side of the ledge, into the chasm.
It's a long fall if we fail, he said. But you're right, the air is thick. What do you say, Quill?
I don't fancy being above that chasm again, Quilby said. But I'm not sure we have a choice. It's about to attack.
Oscar was a strong swimmer. Even though he wasn't sure that this was going to work, what choice did they have?
Let's do it, he said. Everyone take a good run up.
The spider came at them in a furious rush.
Go! Screamed Ash.
They all ran and dived head first off the cliff. As soon as they touched the thickened air, It slowed them to a crawl.
It's working,
said Rosa as she crawled slowly through the air.
Don't look down,
yelled Oscar, who had made that mistake and was now pointedly looking up.
And keep kicking.
Ha! Said Ash. This is amazing.
Beside him, Quilby was struggling as he tried to swim with one arm curling through the air and the other clutching his spellbook.
It's all very well for you guys, he gasped. Come on, Quilby. You can make it,
said Rosa, as something slowly spun past her shoulder and thudded into the stone floor just ahead.
Splock!
It was a strand of sticky spider silk. In their amazement at swimming through the air, they had almost forgotten the giant spider hunting them from above. Another strand went swirling past Quilby, shooting slowly out across the chasm and down to the cavern floor below. When he looked up, he saw the spider fixing the other end of the silk strand to the floor of the ledge with her spinnerets.
Oh no, said Quilby. It's building another bridge, but it's aiming for us too. If it hits us along the way, we'll be caught.
Just swim for your lives, shouted Ash.
A whooshing sound went right past Oscar's ear as another silken strand barely missed them and thudded into the ground. He grabbed Quilby by the elbow and clutched him close. He began swimming side stroke, like he'd been taught in swimming class, and the pair slowly made their way toward the other side of the chasm. After what felt like an age, all four companions reached the relative safety of the ground below, on the other side of the chasm. They all got up and tried to run. Mother of Silk had thrown enough web to allow her to climb down after the intruders. She delicately placed her oiled legs on the strands and started down. She hated the room below. It reeked of strong magic and felt like a bad dream. But she was hungry, and she could not let a meal escape. Not again. The words of that swift-winged Sephira haunted her.
Too slow, you big old monster!
These creatures were slower, though. Much slower. And wingless. She would have them. Easily. She just needed to be patient. And if there was one thing that living in a cave for thousands of years had taught her, it was patience. Mother clambered down her strands of spider silk to the floor below. The descent in the soupy air was slow, but she progressed as quickly as she dared. At length, she reached the cavern floor and made after the four. It was hard work, but she was soon gaining on them. It had been many years since Mother had felt the delicious release of venom to her fangs. Today she would need it. But she wondered if she had any venom left. She was an old spider after all. It could have all dried up. No, there it was. That sweet feeling. The venom was releasing. Maybe it would be her last, but today it dripped from her fangs. So powerful was her hunger. At last she was upon them. Mother of Silk reared up, ready to strike.
She's after us! Keep moving!
Yelled Ash.
And Quilby, find that spell!
They moved across the floor as fast as they could. The exertion showed on their faces as they half trudged, half swam across the floor.
I have a spell, but we need to get to the cavern entrance for it to work,
said Quilby as he flicked back and forth through the thick pages of his book.
Come on, everyone. Move as fast as you can, said Ash.
They had reached the middle of the room and had just passed the pillar. Oscar looked back.
She's gaining,
he yelled. The spider had closed the gap and was halfway to the pillar.
Go faster, urged Ash. It's going to be close.
It was the longest, scariest, and slowest few minutes of their lives. Not only were they being chased by a giant spider, but they could see the spider catching up to them in slow motion, one hairy leg at a time, foot claws clicking and fangs dripping. As they finally neared the entrance, the spider was almost upon them. Corby spoke in a loud, strong voice.
If the weather would work on a whim, forming wind whirling under your wing, fine feathered fowls and furrying leaves bring on the brunt of a blustering breeze.
The spider reared up behind them, and Corby waved his hand. Immediately, a strong wind struck.
Join hands and get out of here,
Quilby yelled as the noise from the wind grew. The companions reached out to one another and clasped hands, Oscar in the lead. The wind sucked at them with tremendous power, threatening to tear them back toward the spider and their doom. Oscar's backpack was torn from his shoulders and went flying into the whirl. It took all of their combined strength, but they reached the exit and gripped the passage walls. They looked back. The full force of the wind had hit the spider, and it was unable to continue forward. It took all of its strength just to cling to the floor. The wind twisted around the cave, sucking the fireflies into its whirl. The effect of the wind spell and the magic of the room had created a magical whirlpool of wind around the pillar. The whirling tornado grew in strength, and the companions could feel themselves being drawn back into the room.
We have to go,
yelled Oscar, and dragged the others away from the cavern entrance into the passageway. The last thing they saw was the spider, losing its grip on the floor and flying back through the air into the tornado of wind, rocks, and fireflies. They had made it. As they stumbled in the darkness of the passage, Quilby recalled the light spell he had prepared earlier and reached into his hat. He pulled out the little package and threw it into the air, muttered a magic word or two, and it burst into a bright light, hovering in the air above his head and lighting up the passage like a streetlight. When they reached a widening of the passage that amounted to a little cave, Ash said,
"Stop! Everyone stop! I think we're safe now."
Panting heavily, they slumped gratefully down onto a number of large stones along a wall.
"Let's take a minute to catch our breath, shall we?"
said Ash, resting against the flat stone wall.
Well done back there, everybody,
puffed Quilby.
"Yes, yeah, and thanks, Quill, but what exactly do we do now?"
asked Oscar.
We didn't get the net. You're right, Oscar, and it's my fault for taking the spell book,
said Quilby.
We need a new plan, and I need to start memorizing some of these new spells.
While Quilby searched hurriedly through the book, the other three spent the next 20 minutes discussing what to do next. Unfortunately, bright ideas were hard to come by.
"We're really not getting anywhere here, Ash," said Oscar.
Ash nodded his agreement. It seemed their quest now hinged on what Quilby could come up with, on how quickly he could learn.
"Okay,"
he said, looking up from the book, his oversized glasses engulfing his face.
I think I have an idea, but Ash is not going to like it."
"Go ahead, Quill. We don't have much of a choice," said Ash. "We three have come up with nothing whatsoever."
"Well," Quilby said, I was wondering where else we might be able to find spider silk net when I came across this spell."
Quilby showed Ash a page.
Oh, no,
said Ash, shaking his head vehemently.
Anywhere but there.
Where?
Asked Rosa.
What's the spell?
Ash put his hand on his forehead.
It's a teleportation spell. a return trip to the goblin markets.
Come on, Ash, said Quilby. If Grandfather used to go there, he must have needed some rare spell items. And if they do have everything a wizard needs, then maybe they even have a spider silk net. The goblin is still out there somewhere, hunting us.
Okay. Oh, this is so dangerous, Quilby, Ash said. But I guess it's worth a shot. Oh.
He turned to Rosa and Oscar and said,
you two, stay here. Believe it or not, it'll be safer. While Quill and I make a very quick trip to the goblin markets and see what we can find.
Before they could respond, he scraped a blob of mud off the cave floor and began rubbing it on his face and arms, then handed some to Quilby. Noticing Oscar and Rosa stares, he said,
well, we can hardly go into the goblin's lair looking as beautiful as we normally do, can we?
Quilby caked his large nose in a dollop of brown sludge.
We'll be back soon,
he said, wiping his hands on his trousers before picking up his spellbook. To open the gateway, the verses were read, for transport direct to the goblins. They readied themselves, aware of the threat of returning not Warken but Oblin.
Mystical doorways of space we call down, for souls that wish to pass through. To Underdark Market in Old Goblin Town, I summon a gateway for two.
A portal appeared, just below on the ground, which Quilby then hastily studied. Through it they hopped with a deep whooshing sound, their faces sufficiently muddied. Where were the usual marketplace mobs? Where were the hordes to get lost in? Where were the goblins, the dryads and hobs? Where were the... This is exhausting. The market was empty, except for a few, who had noticed their new muddy guests. Instead of a casual marketplace view, there were knives being held at their chests. The goblins surrounded the out-of-place pair, their business unwelcome, not wanted. With a click of a finger, the portal appeared, and Quilby and Ash jumped upon it. The lads had escaped, and both of them knew that fortune was with them this day. If not for escape, there'd be thick gnomeling stew with a fabulous fairy bouquet. Oscar and Rosa had watched as Quilby recited his spell, then jumped onto the portal with Ash in tow. The fairy folk had vanished into the ground with a deep whooshing sound. The children ran over to peek inside the portal, but it had closed as soon as Ash and Quilby passed through, taking all light with it. Luckily, Oscar had put the torch in his pocket earlier, the backpack now being lost. Oscar switched it on, and they sat back down on their rocks, leaning the torch upright against the cave wall to give them a little light.
Do you think that spider could still find us here, Oscar?
Asked Rosa.
Do you think it's still alive?
Nah, I don't think so, sis, Oscar replied. I saw it go over the edge of that drop. Nothing could survive that.
Well, except Quilby. They sat in silence for a while. Now that all was still, that all distractions were gone, the same old feeling crept over Oscar once more. He stared into the dark, into nothing. The sadness had returned. He was almost startled when Rosa spoke.
Oski, she began tentatively, I'm sort of afraid to ask this, but you've been so quiet lately, and you haven't been spending much time with me. Well, before today. And we used to have so much fun. Is there something wrong? Have I done something wrong?
Oscar wasn't sure what to say. He didn't want to upset Rosa. But he also knew he needed to talk to someone. He tried to speak.
I, you know,
he trailed off lamely, shaking his head in frustration.
You can tell me, said Rosa. I'm your sister.
Oscar couldn't hold it in any longer. His head slumped and he began to talk.
Rosa, you know how those boys were scaring you at school? You know, when I helped you out, when we put the rose thorns on our noses?
She nodded.
I was really scared that day, Oscar. When that Wayne boy picked me to bully, I didn't know what to do.
The air shimmered, as it had earlier for Ash's story. The magic of the grotto took hold of Rosa's memories. The two children could do nothing but watch as the story of that day played out in their mind's eye.
Nine-year-old Rosa stood staring at the school fence. Her interest lay not in the weathered grey boards, but in the bloom of pink roses creeping through and around it. She marvelled at the beauty of the petals, breathing deeply their scent. They were simply wonderful. As Rosa mused, one of the school's bigger boys galumphed down the path, pushing roughly past her. She was forced into the bushes, close to the thorns. More boys followed, chasing and yelling, as boys often did. She kept herself pressed to the fence in an effort to keep out of their way. As she turned her head to flatten herself further, her forehead brushed past the cold, soft petals of a rose. She felt the sharpness of a thorn graze across her cheek. The thorn's tip didn't puncture, but left a white line of scraped skin. When the way was again clear, Rosa stepped back onto the cobbled path that passed directly beneath the headmaster's office. She shook her head in disappointment.
They could be so thoughtless sometimes. Boys.
As Rosa turned towards the quad, she noticed that a few of the boys were returning along the path, whispering and pointing at her. They approached. She stood her ground, despite a creeping feeling that she was in danger. Wayne, the kid with oily shoulder-length hair and that disgusting whiskered mole on his cheek, stood directly in front of her, while others crowded around. He was by far the biggest kid in school, and was a well-known bully. Rosa was afraid.
Life at school sucks sometimes. You're always here looking at the roses, aren't you, girl? Said Wayne.
Rosa frowned at him but said nothing, her eyes scanning the distance for any sign of a teacher.
Don't say much, do you? Wayne taunted. Aren't you that Oscar kid's sister? What's your name?
I'm Rosa Hunter, she said, at almost a whisper.
One of the boys began laughing, followed quickly by the rest.
Rosa? No wonder she stares at the roses all day, eh, guys?
Said a freckled kid in a high-pitched whine, followed by further snickering from the gathered throng.
Enough! Barked Wayne. She may like the pretty pink roses, but I bet there's something she doesn't like.
Rosa felt the hairs stand up on the back of her neck.